Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, history enthusiasts. You get not one, but two events in history today. Heads up that you also might hear two different hosts, me and Tracy V. Wilson. With that said, on with the show.
Welcome to This Day in History class from HowStuffWorks.com and from the desk of Stuff You Missed in History Class. It's the show where we explore the past one day at a time with a quick look at what happened today in history. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson and it's December 20th. South Carolina seceded from the Union on this day in 1860. And this is marked as a turning point on the way to the U.S. Civil War, and it was. But disputes between northern and southern states, between free and slave states, had been going on for decades. By that point, there had been a whole series of compromises meant to try to preserve the balance of power between free states and slave states. As one example, there was the Missouri Compromise, which allowed Missouri to be admitted into the Union as a slave state, while Maine was split off for Massachusetts and admitted as a free state. But by 1860, even after all of these compromises, things had grown progressively more tense. Northern states had started abolishing slavery and passing laws to prevent the return of escaped slaves to the states where they had been held in bondage. There was increasing pressure on slave states to start abolishing slavery. Slave states' dissatisfaction with all this increased dramatically in 1850 when California, which was a free state, was admitted into the Union without a corresponding slave state to preserve this balance of power in Congress between slave and free. As the 1860 election approached, the prevailing wisdom was that the election of a Republican president would guarantee that slaveholding states would start breaking away from the Union. The Republican Party had been founded 6 years earlier by anti-slavery Whigs, and the Republican president who was elected was Abraham Lincoln. He was elected on November 6th, and on December 20th, South Carolina became the first state to secede. On December 24th, South Carolina adopted a declaration of the immediate causes which induce and justify the secession of South Carolina from the Federal Union. It begins, quote, "The people of the state of South Carolina in convention assembled on the 26th day of April AD 1852 declared that the frequent violations of the Constitution of the United States by the federal government and its encroachments upon the reserved rights of the states fully justified this state in then withdrawing from the Federal Union. but in deference to the opinions and wishes of the other slaveholding states, she forbore at that time to exercise this right. Since that time, these encroachments have continued to increase, and further forbearance ceases to be a virtue. In other words, we said we had the right to secede back in 1852, but because the other slaveholding states asked us not to, we did not, but now we are. It goes on about the idea of free, sovereign, and independent states before it gets around to what freedoms specifically we're talking about. One of these is outlined in Article 4 of the Constitution, quote, "No person held in service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due." In other words, if you're enslaved in one state and you run away to another, you can't be just kept there. You have to be sent back. That was in the Constitution. This document then goes on to talk about the hostility of the non-slaveholding states to the slaveholding states, which, quote, led to a disregard of their obligations. And the document goes on to condemn abolition societies, which have, quote, encouraged and assisted thousands of our slaves to leave their homes, and those who remain have been incited by emissaries, books, and pictures to servile insurrection. Toward the end, this statement says, quote, "The slaveholding states will no longer have the power of self-government or self-protection, and the federal government will have become their enemy." A total of 11 states seceded from the Union, several others repeatedly citing slavery as their reason for doing so, and they formed the Confederate States of America. The Civil War began on April 12th of 1861. Thanks to Casey Pegram and Chandler Mays for their audio work on this show. You can subscribe to This Day in History class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you get podcasts. And you can tune in tomorrow for an infamous bombing.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. I'm Eves, and you're listening to This Day in History class, a podcast that really takes to heart the phrase, you learn something new every day. The day was December 20th, 1987. The Philippine-registered passenger ferry MV Doña Paz sank, claiming the lives of more than 4,000 people. It was the deadliest peacetime shipwreck in history. Doña Paz, originally called Himeyuri Maru, was built by Onomichi Zosen in Hiroshima, Japan in 1963. It was first used as a passenger ferry in Japanese waters, but it was later sold to a Philippine operator who ran passenger ferries. After the vessel was destroyed in a fire in 1979, it returned to service as a passenger ferry. In 1987, Doña Paz was traveling between Tacloban, Catbalagan, and Manila, picking up passengers along the way. The vessel could officially hold 1,518 people and be operated by a crew of 66. On December 20, 1987, at 6:30 a.m. local time, Doña Paz left Tacloban on the island of Leyte and headed out from Manila in the Philippines, with a stop in Catbalagan, Samar. It made this trip a couple of times a week. Meanwhile, an oil tanker named MT Vector was traveling from Bataan to Masbate, carrying around 8,800 barrels of gasoline and other petroleum products. Vector was chartered by Caltex Philippines. That night, while passengers were sleeping as the ferry traveled through the Tablas Strait, Vector and Doña Paz collided off Mindoro Island. The lights on board Doña Paz went out, and Vector's cargo caught fire, sending gas and kerosene into the surrounding water. The flames soon engulfed Doña Paz. Life jackets on the ferry were reportedly inaccessible, and the crew did not organize a rescue effort. This intensified the panic on board, and people who survived the collision jumped off the ship into flaming, shark-infested water. Doña Paz sank within 2 hours of the wreck, and Vector sank within 4 hours. The death toll has been estimated at 4,386 people. But the Doña Paz was overcrowded at the time of the disaster. Hundreds of passengers did not buy tickets, but instead boarded the ship and paid a lower fare. Those people were not listed on the ferry's passenger list. Over the next few days, corpses floated in the waters around the island of Mindoro. The Coast Guard got word of the disaster, and a search and rescue operation soon began. 24 people survived the disaster. It was later found that Doña Paz had no radio, hindering communication between the two vessels. Sulpicio Lines, who operated the ferry, claimed they followed all rules set by the Philippine Coast Guard, but the Board of Marine Inquiry determined that Sulpicio Lines was not at fault. Though overcrowding on Doña Paz was part of the cause of the disaster, Vector was deemed responsible by the Supreme Court of the Philippines. Because Vector was so heavy, two people had to steer it, causing it to go in a zigzag motion toward Doña Paz, which may have confused the ferry's crew. Also, Vector was understaffed with underqualified crew. On top of that, the vessel did not have a certificate of inspection. Families of the victims received little compensation. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. Send your best history memes to us at TDIHC Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also accept electronic letters at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action, and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.